hear and believe the good news. Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have died. For since death came through a human being, the resurrection of the dead has also come through a human being. For as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. Amen. Lord, we don't always find easy to recognize your coming to us. Come reveal yourself to us through your word. Beat us in the breaking of the bread. Set our heavy hearts on fire with love for you, and send us on our way rejoicing. For your name's sake, amen. The Bible readings. The first reading is from Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, the first four verses. Colossians, chapter 3, the first four verses. Apostle Paul says, "So if you have been raised with Christ, see the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. The Psalter is Psalm 118. It is on page 837. 837. And we use part 2. God is my strength and my song. God has become my salvation. There are shouts of joy and deliverance in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of God does mighty things. The right hand of God raises up. The right hand of God does mighty things. I shall not die but live, and I shall proclaim what God has done. God indeed punished me, but did not give me over to death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Gospel reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. The first 10 verses. Matthew 28, the first 10 verses. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guard shook and became like a dead man. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Rock, O Lord, O Redeemer. Amen. Time after time, when we come to Easter, we struggle with the message of the resurrection of Jesus, and this is very divisive because we have people, even in churches, even in positions of being ministers of churches, who say that, I'm sorry, I cannot believe in the resurrection. At the same time, we need to recognize the fact that Christianity is very special and different from other religions, because in the center of the Christian faith is not a doctrine, it's not a teaching. In the center of the Christian religion is a statement, what we believe to be a historical fact, the resurrected Jesus. If there is resurrection, Christianity stands. If there is no resurrection, Christianity is not valid. I know a lot of people might say that Christianity can be useful, Christianity can be practical, Christianity can be beneficial, even without a resurrected Jesus. However, even Apostle Paul says that if we don't believe in the resurrection, we are people who must be pitied the most. So even in New Testament times, authors like Apostle Paul recognized the danger that there are people who can remove faith from evidence, faith from the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, and this is a difficult issue. This is a difficult issue. Not simply the resurrection, the whole issue of evidence. Because if you look at the Bible, there is a ton of evidence for a lot of things. Of course, some of the evidences in the Bible, some pieces of evidence, are very, very strong. Some of them are not that strong. So, for example, when we had Bible study, we talked about Jesus performing a miracle at the pool of Bethesda. There was a person who was lying there for decades, who didn't have anybody to take him to the pool, and Jesus came to him and healed him. It is one of the major miracles of Jesus in the Gospel of John. And the interesting thing, there was no proof for that. Nobody knew where the pool was. They didn't find the pool. But they found the pool. You know when? 2004. The year when I came to Canada. That was the year when they found the pool of Bethesda. Those two events are not connected in any shape or form. But it's, for me, it's easy to remember. Pool of Bethesda for over 2,000 years, people were arguing that where the pool was. And if from the 19th century all through the 20th century, Bible critic says there is no pool, there is no proof. It wasn't the whole healing ministry of Jesus healing that particular person was a made-up story, because we don't find a pool. There was some construction work in Israel, in Jerusalem. They have to fix a pipe. And they found the pool. And we have the pool exactly the same way as it was described in the Gospel of John. So there is a ton of evidence. There is a ton of proof. But we need to look into our hearts. And the first question today is not simply our relationship to Jesus Christ as normal, but the our relationship to the whole issue of evidence. There are some people in the church who say, I don't care about evidence. I believe without evidence. I don't want to examine any kind of evidence because it is not necessary. I believe without that. And you know people like that, I'm sure. But there are some other people. There are some other people, and I met a lot of them, who say, I don't care how many pieces of evidence you provide, I don't believe. I've already made up my mind. So this is the big problem. This is my big problem. This is the evidence problem. Apparently, half of the people say, I'm not interested in evidence because I believe anyway. Some other people say, it doesn't matter the evidence. I don't believe. I've made up my mind. I don't care what kind of evidence you bring. You can bring me a video of the resurrected Jesus. I wouldn't care. I choose not to care about the evidence. I choose to ignore the evidence. So anyway, bottom line is, if you read the Bible, and if you see this as the Word of God, you can recognize a very important element. Jesus never said, believe, you don't need evidence. Jesus never said that. Jesus never said that. You don't need evidence, just believe. God never said that. We have tons of stories in the Old Testament when God was sending prophets to the people, and the prophet says, I want evidence. I want proof. I want something solid. And every single time, God gave them what they wanted. Sometimes even the things were silly, God honored their request. And in the past couple of decades, ever since, I've come to Canada, and ever since an internet platform called YouTube is there, we have a ton of personal stories. A ton of personal stories of people who were hostile to Christianity or who couldn't care less about Christianity. And we have conversion stories. First person singular, people say, I believe this, but God proved himself to be real. And of course, one can say, this is an evidence for them, it's not an evidence for me. But when we go back to the gospel stories, you remember one of the most famous gospel story about the resurrected Jesus is Saint Thomas, the apostle, who said that I don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. I want to put my finger into his wound to make sure. And Jesus didn't say, oh, Thomas, how wretched you are. Jesus said, here I am, Thomas. Put your finger into my wound. We have no proof that Thomas did that. But Jesus is saying, here I am. Here I am. the evidence we have in the Bible is sometimes very tricky, because sometimes it relies on pieces of information, bits and pieces of information we are not really aware of. One of the things we have is the fact that there was an empty tomb. Why do we know that there was an empty tomb? The body of Jesus was not there. The Bible actually recorded that. I don't know how much you like detective stories. Good. One person, I'm so happy for you. We are on the same page. You know, in every second, third detective story, there is a problem. There is a murder, and the murderer should come up with the idea what to do with the body. What to do with the body? Because most of the time, the murderer wants to make the body disappear. Because that's a very important proof. That is a very important piece of evidence. It's a very important piece of evidence pointing to the perpetrator. So what we have here as an evidence is a lack of a dead body. And of course, we know that that even the Bible recorded a very important lie about the disappearance of the body of Jesus, namely that the disciples stole the body of Jesus. And of course, that didn't sound right in the time of the disciples, the first disciples. So they had to give an extra explanation how they could steal the body, because the guards were sleeping. You know, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be flippant. When I was a young person, I was in the army and I was a guard. And every once in a while, I slept. As a guard. And I knew that whoever got caught sleeping during guard duty got a punishment. 10 days. 10 days incarceration. That was the price. And I didn't really care, because incarceration was actually a more comfortable place than being in other places of the barracks. So I couldn't really care less. Then we know from history very precisely what the Roman soldiers had to pay if they had fallen asleep during guard duty. It was death. It's not just the death of the person who was sleeping. All four of them got executed. Because there is a structure of the Roman army, and the smallest unit of the Roman army consisted of four people. And if somebody was found asleep, that person wasn't only the person who was found asleep got executed, the whole unit was executed, all four of them. So, how plausible you think that everybody was sleeping at the same time? For some people might say, this is kind of a proof for me. Some other people say, this is not a proof for me. We know that several hundred people saw Jesus alive walking. Some people say, this is a proof for me, this is not a proof for me. The other interesting thing, the Matthew's Gospel, the Gospel of Matthew is giving to us, is Jesus showed himself as resurrected. The first people who saw Jesus resurrected were women. Everybody knows that. It's very interesting. The Old Testament, the time of Jesus, at the time of the beginning of the New Testament, was an interesting intersection of three different cultures. One culture was the Old Testament, the Jewish culture, which was still on, because this was Israel, the country of the Jews, and this is Jewish people. So there is a Jewish culture. There is Greek culture, because everybody spoke Greek in that that was the language that was very much like English language today. There are people with different mother tongues. We share all one thing in common. We all speak English because we need to understand each other. So everybody must speak. The whole planet speaks English because it is a necessity. And that was exactly the same thing. The whole world was speaking Greek. Even our whole New Testament was written in Greek. That was a second culture. And of course, they lived under Roman occupation. That was a Roman culture. And there are a few things common with these three cultures, even though they are very diverse. But there is one thing in common, very interesting for our point of view, from the point of view of the resurrection. No culture accepted the testimony of women. If you wanted to give testimony in the court of law and you were a woman, your testimony didn't matter. So if it was a made-up story, if somebody came up with this idea that, Jesus didn't get resurrected, but let's make a story, let's make a fabricated account, let's make a fabricated story about the resurrection of Jesus, they wouldn't have used women as first witnesses, because those witnesses didn't matter. They matter to us now, but in the time of Jesus, in the time of the writing of the New Testament, those testimonies didn't simply matter. So for a fabricated story, for a made-up story, that wasn't good material. That was not really... So for a lot of people, this is a kind of a proof. And of course, the most important proof is changed lives. And the changed life is a very, very big, very, very big thing. It's a very, very big thing. We see Matthew or Levi, the tax collector, becoming Matthew, the first author of the first gospel account, Gospel of Matthew, because he met Jesus, and meeting with Jesus changed his life, transformed his life. Of course, probably the most contrasting and the strongest image for us probably is the story of Apostle Paul, who was persecuting the church, who spent his younger years persecuting Christians, later became Apostle Paul, the apostle who wrote the most. Half of our New Testament is written by Apostle Paul. And the strongest evidence, I believe the strongest evidence about the message of the resurrected Jesus is everybody who had the message had to die for it. Every single person who carried the message of the resurrected Jesus had to pay the ultimate price for being a witness. And they could choose the authorities told them that you either hold on to your conviction that you saw Jesus resurrected, you talk to Jesus resurrected. If you stick to your story, we will execute you. Or you say, it didn't happen, and you can walk away. And everybody chose to stick the story of the resurrected Jesus. They didn't say they believed in the resurrection. What they said was they saw Jesus resurrected. They talked to Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. And for anybody reasonable, you may say that I would happily lie if I can get something out of it. An easy life, success, lavish lifestyle. I would lie for those things any day of the week. But would you lie for a death sentence? Would you lie for a death sentence? There's no logical explanation. There is no logical explanation. And of course, the other historical evidence, and nobody could explain this away, is the fact that while Jesus was dead, for those 3 days, the movement was dead too. There was no Christianity. The Christian religion, so to speak, kind of died with Jesus. The interesting thing that with his resurrection, the movement resurrected too. And what we can see here, as well, nobody could understand, and even the Romans in that day, the times of the apostles, the whole Christian movement exploded in the world, in Jerusalem and in Rome. And it never happened before, never happened after. What is the explanation? Of course, we can do anything. We can do the same thing with any kind of evidence. Because sometimes when the evidence doesn't fit my emotional state or my personal will, I can say I choose to ignore the evidence. But we talk about God who is real and God is personal. And what we can see, not just in the past, even in the present, people who spend time with God, people who spend quality time with God, they had their lives changed. And of course, there is the question of evidence. Because as I just started, some people say, I don't care about the evidence because I believe anyway. Or some other people say, I don't care about the evidence because I don't believe no matter what. But for us, the number one question, what God really wants. Does God want us to stay with him, have quality time with him, read the evidence, or to say flippantly, I don't need that, I believe anyway. We in the church, people of Jesus Christ, people who believe in Jesus Christ, we don't only believe but proclaim Jesus Christ crucified and risen, to whom all glory in heaven and on earth. Amen.